Hi, and welcome back. I'm Simi Lana, and this is the Judaism From Within podcast, the podcast where we go through the works and the ideas and the perspective of Rav Shomshon Raphael Hirsch. We're dealing with probably the key and most central concept that Rav Hirsch develops. And I say the key and most central is because we're talking about education. Because when it comes down to it, any teacher, parent, anybody in a position of authority from a religious standpoint is going to be engaging in chinuch, in development of the other on some level, because that is what chinuch is. It is the molding, it is the nurturing of the other in line with an ideal. That's what chinuch is. The word first emerges in relationship to Avraham and his disciples, and without going into the details about how Rav Hirsch draws this out, chinuch refers to guiding those in the direction of their sort of ultimate ideal, their mission, their reason for being here. And that is the role and the responsibility of a parent. A parent is that guide, is that role model. And what we're going to do when it comes to Rav Hirsch's understanding is we're going to split this up into two parts. The first part is going to be, what is your responsibilities as a parent? And then what are you supposed to embody? So to perhaps split this up into three terms. First one is our introduction. Second, your responsibility. And third, what role are you to embody? The introduction is very simple. You have the greatest blessing. What is the greatest blessing? Then to bestow blessing. Think about your relationship with the Almighty. What does the Almighty owe you? What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu owe you? The answer is really nothing. But what he gives you, we understand as being an expression of God's love. That connection that God gives, that which we have no demand on him for, but he gives. You embody this when you have children. They have no demand on you, but you are there for them. They are not there for you. You mirror the Almighty in that sense. You take the role of that which will mold, and that is a huge responsibility. And this is the focus of our conversation today. Rav Hirsch understands your responsibility to be laid out in three areas. And it's important to mention, he is harsh with his language. Any one of these areas you fail to meet your responsibilities, you are betraying your child. You are committing treason to your child. You are in a relationship with your child where they look at you as the one to trust. And if you betray that trust, you are living a wanted life. You are not living your fulfilled existence, especially in relationship to this ultimate responsibility. And it goes in a level of importance as well. The first is physical, the second is mental or spiritual, and the third is the responsibility to set your child up for his future. Now, the physical is obvious, and I think we could say that all of them together articulate a spiritual calling. Any one of them that is lacking, the person is not going to be able to live a full spiritual existence, will not be able to live out their mission. So let's break it down. What is physical? And also just another caveat, any one of these taken in isolation and you were told a parent neglected this, you would understand it as a betrayal, but we don't often use that sort of language. The first is physical. You've got to allow your child to develop physically. You've got to feed them. You've got to take care of them. You've got to give them exercise. You've got to allow them to grow and be a healthy human being. You've got to provide for them. That's the first area of responsibility. Now, people will say this is obvious. Chazal articulate this from Rav Hirsch's standpoint with the responsibility to teach your child how to swim. So it's obvious, but it's important to say because without your physical existence, you don't have anything else. Next is mental. Now, this incorporates the obvious, good manners. A normal human being in the world who can communicate and connect and be empathetic, general things that you would expect someone to have to develop a normal human being. Education, understand the world, but most importantly, Rav Hirsch sees your responsibility in this area, in the area of the mind, to develop your child's appreciation of his mission in this world. And everything should be in aid of that, because if you bring up a child without a sense of purpose, a sense of direction, there's something quasi, the right word, I don't want to say abusive about that, but you're putting a child in the world, a world full of ideas and full of perspectives, And as the enlightened ones in the modern world like to say, I let my son choose his direction. Of course you're going to let your son choose a direction or your daughter choose a direction. But to not give them guidance, to not give them a mission to hold on to, you're leaving them bereft. Without that mission, without that perspective, they're bereft in a sea of an ocean of chaos. And whatever they manage to grasp later on in life will be nothing in comparison to if you had a direction that you could have imparted to them and you didn't. And Refesh is very specific about this, and he develops it more fully in the 19 letters. You're supposed to introduce to your child the mission of the Jewish people in the context of the Torah, but also in the context of history. And the way he develops this in the 19 letters, I think is the, even when I teach this to, I don't know, 25, 30-year-olds, they often look at it and they pause and they say, well, I never really considered it like that. What am I talking about? I'm talking about going through the Torah as if it is an instruction manual about how to view the world. It is a description, it is a story, it is a way of orientating your perspective on reality. Now, people often say, well, obviously that's what Bereishis is, but that's not what people do. People often read through the story of creation as something that has to be believed. And then they go to Rashi, and then they move on, as if they're learning history, rather than they're learning instruction about their mission in this world. Now, I'd have to refer people to my lectures on the 19 letters, but it is a fundamentally different perspective in learning the story of Bereishis, the story of Lech Lecha. What is the role of the Shvatim? What is the role of history? What is the role of the Jewish people in exile in relationship to our mission? And our job is to impart that to our children, that when they perceive history, where they perceive themselves, they see themselves within a narrative, within a story, but not just any story, the greatest story. Just to give one example, the example of how to understand the creation story, the story of creation. Now, people often look at that as being, well, yeah, God created the world. They look at it as a description of a historical event. That might be the case, but that's not the focus. The focus is that you're looking at the creation as being an expression of love. Now, a person would say to me, what are you talking about? How is the creation narrative a story of love? Well, at the most basic level, the substrate of your reality, of your experience in this world, is an ecosystem. Hashem created everything giving to the layer above it. Every part of the natural world is giving and receiving, unselfishly. Yes, not by choice, but that's the framework in which you're experiencing. Rav Hirsch develops this at length, that you're supposed to look at the world as being an orchestra of giving. Now, we know it's not chosen, it's done naturally. But that doesn't take away the point. Everything in nature, from Rav Hirsch's vision, is giving to the level above it and receiving from the level below it. That is an ecosystem. But that is the framework in which humanity was invited into. So humanity, mankind, in the most broad sense, is asked to take part in this symphony. Now, we can break the symphony. That makes our input that much more valuable, but also risk, because we can break the story. Rav Hirsch says what everything in nature is doing naturally, you are called upon to do by choice, voluntarily. That's the opening. That's your story at the bedrock of your conscious experience from Rav Hirsch's standpoint. The same way a person may, from a secular standpoint, have the Big Bang or an evolutionary theory of biology as their bedrock. Now, here's an important point. They can both be true. A person can take a perspective of understanding their mission in this world in relationship to the Torah and incorporate the best of the science. But if someone just had the expansion of the universe, just random mutation and natural selection, they would live in a different world. They don't live in a world of love. They don't live in a world that was created for that purpose. They live a world of randomness. They live in a world of tooth and claw, and thereby they perceive themselves and those around them through that lens. It's their myth, if you will. They understand that as their story for understanding the world, the lens that they use to view the world. Rav Hirsch says to your responsibility to your child is to take them on a journey of appreciating the world through the Torah's lens, from its standpoint. What are its values? What is it trying to produce? And then you incorporate the chukim, the mishpatim, the eidos, the commandments to fulfill that. Now, obviously, this is a broader discussion, which we will develop further in part two, but this is what it means to educate your child from a mental standpoint. And then lastly, to set your child up to get a job, to have the ability to sustain his existence in the future, to not do that once again, you leave your child disabled in the world, and you betray your child's ability to be able to sustain himself, and that is a betrayal of the child. Now, Rav Hirsch points out, this isn't the most important, because you can envision parents taking all of their emphasis and all of their focus on developing their child to be able to get a job and sustain themselves. And Rav Hirsch describes when he speaks in the Psukim, where it talks about the mon, that the reason why this is such a responsibility is because there is a genuine fear of starvation behind it, which is why this is an area that a person has to work on their bitachon, because it is so serious. The responsibility is massive. But that can't take over the whole. It is an important part of this triad, but it comes at the end. It is not the most important, because if a person has a living but has no mission, or a person has a mission but doesn't have physical health, you can understand why each one of these has to take a place, but each one will influence the other, depending on which one has been given emphasis. And Rav Hirsch understands when it comes to emphasis, it must be on mission, it must be on purpose, it must be on the direction you are supposed to take in life. And to negate any of these is a clear betrayal of your responsibility to a child. So, to recap, we spoke about the ultimate responsibility, the ultimate blessing, that of having children, and educating their children in the direction of the highest ideals. That is chinuch, as Avram being our model. But then we took it further, and we spoke about the three areas that your responsibility plays itself out on your son or your daughter: the physical, the mental, and the sustainable. And each of those come together to develop a spiritual being in this world, and that is your responsibility as a parent. Next time, we will discuss the stages that you as a parent play in the child's life going forward, from that of trainer to example to companion. As always, thank you for listening and have a wonderful week.